Good morning, everyone. I am not Pastor Shannon, as you can see. We should probably point out that he is in Myanmar this week with Pastor Billy. They are there to help minister to the pastors in Myanmar, and I think many of you may have seen his note that he asked for some prayer. He asked for open doors, open mouths, for them to communicate clearly, for the word to spread and be honored, and for their safety and protection. So please do keep Pastor Shannon and Billy in your prayers this week. And as Pastor Shannon is gone, it gives me the privilege to preach this Sunday. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we cannot understand your word and your truth without your help. Please be with us now and help us to understand and to hear your word. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. When I started university, I had no idea what I wanted to study. I just knew that it took me hours and hours to write anything, so I knew that anything related to English or anything that had to do with a lot of writing would not be a good idea. So I thought to myself, well, science is okay. There's not too much writing there. Maybe I'll study that. That semester, I enrolled in an organic chemistry class. It was really hard. I had to study a lot, but by the end of the semester, probably right before the final exam, I felt like, okay, you know, I'm starting to understand this. I was reading through the textbook and felt like it made sense to me. It was starting to click. Maybe this could work. So the next day, I take the final exam, I get it back, and I do horribly. This was really bad. I even went to the professor to argue my results, but he just told me that the grade I got was the grade I deserved. I didn't even understand his explanations for why I did so badly, only that it was very clear to me that what I understood was not at all what the right answers were. That was the most dangerous part. I thought I had a good understanding of the subject, when in fact, I was completely off. In the end, it was okay. I just learned that in addition to humanities, I shouldn't do science either. Now, in today's passage, we see a similar lesson. Jesus tells the Sadducees that what they thought they knew was wrong. In my case, it's okay to do poorly in school. I survived my bad chemistry grade. But having the wrong answers in life, having the wrong answers for life's most important questions, like what happens after we die, that's completely different. Our problem is that there are many possible answers to life's most important questions, but there can only be one true and right answer. And if we don't know it, there are eternal consequences. The main point from today's message is that we will get life's most important questions wrong when we don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Again, we will get life's most important questions completely wrong, which means we won't know why we're here, who God is, who we are, what happens after we die. We won't know these things if we don't know the Bible and don't believe in God. Today, Jesus instructs us on where to find the right answers. So let's listen to him. Today's passage is from the book of Mark, one of the four books about Jesus' life. For those of you who are new today, it's our custom at CBIBC to go verse by verse through the Bible so that we can study God's complete revelation for us and not just skip to the parts that are easier to understand. The setting for today's passage is in Jerusalem, on Wednesday, in the middle of the Passion Week. During this week, Jesus has driven out all who were buying and selling in the temple. He was opposing and shaking up the religious system. The crowds enjoyed listening to Jesus because it was something new, but the religious leaders, they did not like Jesus. In fact, a few verses above our passage, in Mark 12:12, it says, "And they," the religious leaders, "were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them." Jesus had publicly criticized the religious leaders with a parable. So they wanted to arrest Jesus, but couldn't because the crowds supported him. So what were the religious leaders trying to do? They created tests to publicly trap Jesus in front of the crowds. In Pastor Shannon's last sermon, he preached on the first test, where the Pharisees and Herodians, they tried a political trap. They tried to get Jesus to pick sides for or against the Roman government. But as Pastor Shannon explained, Jesus expertly handled the question. As the Pharisees are leaving, we come immediately to today's passage. This is the second test, where the second group, the Sadducees, are trying to trap Jesus with a theological test. Now, who were the Sadducees? In Jesus' day, there were two main groups in Israel's religious leadership. The Pharisees were one group, and the Sadducees were the other. You can think of them as the group of deacons, or pastors, or cardinals, who were in charge, who were wealthy, had influence, and controlled the religious system. The groups were experts and the authority on religious matters. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they differed from each other based on certain beliefs. There are two characteristics of the Sadducees that we should know. Firstly, the Sadducees believed only in the books of Moses. That means they believed only in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Pharisees, on the other hand, believed in the whole Old Testament. Only the first five books of the Bible mattered to the Sadducees. And that's why when they test Jesus, they use a passage from Deuteronomy. And also why later Jesus uses a passage in Exodus to respond to them. The second characteristic in this passage that we should understand is that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That means that they believed that both body and soul perished, ended at death, and that there is no afterlife. The Pharisees, on the other hand, did believe in life after death. And this was the major controversial topic between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This was the main difference between the two. And this is where the Sadducees are trying to trap Jesus today. Let's look at the test. The Sadducees explain a pretty weird story about seven brothers all marrying the same woman and dying. It's based on six verses from Deuteronomy where Moses teaches that an unmarried brother should help preserve his brother's name. This would help ensure that the family line would continue and any family land would stay within the family. This was an optional practice that was probably not even practiced that often, even back then. But the Sadducees, they don't have a problem with this practice, but they're instead using this to create an ingenious trap for Jesus. The trap is to get Jesus to take sides in this highly controversial topic. They expected Jesus to respond in certain ways, all of which would create major problems. Here are some ways that Jesus could have responded. He could have said, "Well, there is no resurrection." That would have made the Sadducees happy, but it would have alienated the majority of the people who believed that there was a resurrection. He could have said, "She is the wife of all the brothers." And that would have been, created an immoral, disgusting, polygamous scenario that the Sadducees can then, laugh at Jesus about and say that the whole idea of the resurrection is ridiculous. Or Jesus could have said, "She is the wife of a particular brother. Maybe the first one, or maybe the last one." But then the Sadducees would have followed up and forced Jesus into a long debate, saying that there's no way you could prove that. And so they would be able to discredit him and challenge his authority. The Sadducees thought that whatever Jesus would say, they would be able to discredit him. However, even though the Sadducees were giving the test, Jesus, in fact, gave them the final grade. Jesus did not respond in the way that they thought. Instead, he corrected their false assumptions. Jesus says in verse 24, "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." This evaluation is shocking, because remember, the Sadducees are the religious elite. They're the leaders. They're the so-called experts in the scriptures. It's like saying that a chemistry professor doesn't know chemistry. But Jesus was pointing out that the Sadducees, they knew of the scriptures, but they lacked a correct understanding. It's like people who study the Bible as, you know, nice words or nice literature, but reject its actual claims to be the truth from God. Our understanding will be wrong if our assumptions are wrong. And so it was with the Sadducees. They ignored parts of the Bible, they had wrong assumptions, and as a result, Jesus gave them a failing grade. Now, what does it mean to know the scriptures and the power of God? Knowing the scriptures means that you believe and know that the Bible is not just a man-made book that people put together, but that it is truth revealed from God to man. Knowing the power of God means that you believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and that he has the power even to raise the dead to life. And these two phrases are closely linked. We know the scriptures only by the power of God, because God's truth in the Bible is foolishness to the world unless God opens our eyes to understand it. And the scriptures, they record God's power, they record God's mighty works, and provide the clearest view of who he is and how almighty he is. Jesus fully understood both the scriptures and the power of God, and could therefore see that the Sadducees did not understand either one. So after he gives the overall grade, Jesus answers the Sadducees' questions using the scriptures and the power of God. He explained both the nature and the reality of the resurrection. And for answer one, in verse 25, Jesus said, "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." The Sadducees assumed that if there was an afterlife, it would be just like this life. It'd just be a continuation. But Jesus knew that God could not only raise people from the dead, but he had the power to also give us new natures and new bodies. Jesus explained that in the resurrection, our relationships will be perfect and marriage will no longer be needed. Thinking about this is like a caterpillar trying to imagine what life will be like as a butterfly. You know, it's going to be very hard to imagine what it's like, because life will be very different. The second answer that Jesus gives is to explain the reality of the resurrection. In verses 26 and 27, Jesus explains that it will happen. His argument is very dense and very deep. It's not just based on the verb tense that God is, but really the summary for Jesus' argument is that if God committed to protect Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob during their lives, but failed to deliver them from the final enemy of death, then his protection and love is limited. Instead, in God's commitment to protect his people, he would not leave them to be dead and forgotten, but he would raise them from the dead. It would take another sermon to fully unpack this argument, but the main point is that Jesus uses his understanding of the scriptures to show that there is absolutely life after death. Jesus concludes his grading of the Sadducees by saying a second time that they're wrong. And not just slightly wrong, they are greatly, very significantly wrong. They are wrong about the fact of the resurrection. They are wrong about the nature of the resurrection. They are wrong that they could outsmart Jesus. They are wrong about who Jesus was. And they are wrong about their understanding of the scriptures. Now, let's take a step back and ask, does it really matter that the Sadducees were wrong? Today, there are so many different answers to life's important questions that it's easy and tempting to think that, you know, it doesn't really matter to get the right answers. You know, maybe if the Sadducees were just sincere in their beliefs, you know, or if anyone is sincere in their beliefs, maybe that's okay. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Just as on my chemistry exam, I thought I knew the right answers, but in the end, I was wrong. It didn't matter how I felt. It didn't matter if I felt like I was right. I still got a bad grade. And if we're wrong in the important questions in life, then we will live wrong, and it will have eternal consequences. Take a moment and realize that Jesus is being very kind to the Sadducees. He could have just left them in their error and let them find out on their own that there is life after death. But he takes time to point out their flawed thinking. This gives them time to know that they're wrong and correct their thinking. And likewise, we should all examine ourselves while there is time and consider whether we have the right answers. What are the right answers? Jesus says they're found in knowing the scriptures and the power of God. But specifically, what do we need to know? If today you're not a Christian, well, the answer is simple. You must know the gospel. The scriptures explain the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel message is that God created the heavens and the earth, and he is perfectly loving, but also perfectly just, so he must punish sin. God made man, but all of us break God's law, and as a result, we'll face God's eternal punishment when we die. But in God's mercy, he provides a way for us to be saved from his judgment through Jesus Christ. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect life and voluntarily died on the cross to take our punishment in our place. He was resurrected from the dead and now offers eternal life, but only to those who repent of their sins and believe in him. It is a free gift, but we must believe in him and accept it. If you believe in him today, you will be saved. For the Christian, you already believe the gospel and know the scriptures and the power of God. But ask yourself, are you barely passing? Or are you passing with full marks? Remember, the Bible is a lamp to our feet. It makes wise the simple. It is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. It's not our duty. It's not a chore to have to read his word. But we, as Christians, it's our privilege to understand it. He has given us his Holy Spirit and will help us to understand all the riches in his word. When we do so, we'll gain a deeper understanding of who God is, the mighty things he has done, and what he will do in the future. And think of how well you'll be able to live in this life, especially during hard times, when you deeply know your Savior. There are many ways you can increase your understanding. You could read the Bible. You can listen to it preached or read. You can study it. You can memorize it. And you can meditate on it. I challenge you today to consider the one thing you can do to increase your understanding of the scriptures and the power of God. This is God's desire for us, and he will bless our efforts if we depend on him. Let's go to him now. Heavenly Father, Thank you for giving us your scriptures that shows us your power and your truth. By your power, reveal to us all the areas where our beliefs are wrong. Help us to submit ourselves to your truth so that we may joyfully join you in the life to come. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.